Greetings to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ on this first Sunday of the new church year. My grown daughter, Christy, loves to watch a television show called What Not to Wear. Has anybody seen it? Okay, I have too. People write in and they ask the show if they would help friends who aren't so good at selecting what to wear. Generally, they don't think their friend's outward appearance matches their inner beauty and their professional and career goals. And if you're selected, what happens is the show has these expert fashion consultants, Stacy and Clinton, who show up and stage sort of a clothing intervention. But before this, weeks in advance, the television show will shoot hidden film footage of the targeted woman. And then they will sit her down and they will let her see just how awful she dresses out in public. They get the woman to acknowledge that she has absolutely no fashion sense and desperately needs their help. And their incentive is they offer her $5,000 and a trip to New York City to buy a complete new wardrobe. The catch is she must bring all the clothing in her closet with her to New York and then on the air allow Stacy and Clinton to go through her wardrobe and throw out anything they don't approve of, which is most of all of it. While tossing out her old clothes, the fashion duo make accurate and funny and sometimes critical assessments of the woman's taste in clothing. And then they teach her how to shop for stylish clothing, and then they give her the money and they set her off on a shopping spree. Then they throw in a professional hairstylist, a makeup artist, and the transformation is complete. The woman returns home for the great unveiling in front of family and friends, the ones who originally contacted What Not to Wear. Now, I thought of What Not to Wear when I read this lesson today from Isaiah. Isaiah begins by wishing that God would make a dramatic entrance into our world, wearing his glory when he returns to earth. But as Isaiah begins to reflect more and more upon this, he begins to worry, saying, how are we sinners going to look in front of this perfect God when he returns? And so, in a manner of speaking today, Isaiah teaches us what not to wear when we come into God's presence. Isaiah warns us not to appear before God wearing our own best attempts to look righteous in God's sight. For in Isaiah's words, all of our attempts to wear our own righteousness for all to see will look to God as filthy rags or, as he puts it, a polluted garment. In other words, wearing your own works is inappropriate attire when meeting God face to face. For without faith in Christ, all of your works are ugly and evil and foul and tattered and offensive to God. It is not our works, but it is the work of God on the cross that will be fashionable in heaven. And so we want to be wearing Jesus' innocence. We want to be dressed in his forgiveness on that day when we stand before God. Now, the stakes are much higher standing before God than suffering some humility by being assessed by Stacy and Clinton. For on the show What Not to Wear, only a person's ugly old clothes gets tossed out. But when God reappears, if you choose to stand before God, protesting your own innocence instead of wearing Christ's righteousness, you and not just your clothing will be thrown out. Scripture warns that should this occur, you would be cast into outer darkness where there would be great weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, a description of hell. Isaiah's big question then is, what will God be wearing when he returns? God had been so greatly angered with Israel's sins that he had remained hidden for a while, a long while. And Isaiah here is longing for God to come out of hiding and to reveal himself as God once again. In this chapter of the book of Isaiah, the prophet reminisces on God's past glorious appearances. Isaiah speaks to the Lord saying, "Oh, that you would just part the heavens and come down and shake things up in a way that would impress even your adversaries." Isaiah suggests that the Lord would come as fire that could set twigs ablaze and cause water to boil. That's because throughout the Old Testament, fire was always a sign of God's presence. That's why we still light candles in the sanctuary today. Now Isaiah wanted God to appear in fire, much as when God spoke to Moses in the burning bush. Or he remembered that glorious day when the Lord had set Elijah's offering ablaze to show the false prophets of Baal that he is the only true God. Isaiah wants the Lord to return in a way that really causes the earth to shake and the mountains to quake, as when God appeared to Moses up on the mountain and gave the commandments in tablets of stone. This had been a very impressive sight, and it revealed the true glory of God, and it terrified those who witnessed it. Isaiah is longing for God to do something like that, to take some dramatic action as he had done in the past. Isaiah wanted to see something from God, something that would really rock our world out of its apathy towards God and God's word. Now, today's Christian can certainly identify with Isaiah, for we find ourselves longing for the same thing. We yearn for the day when God will reappear in some clear and convincing way so that even those who do not believe in our God in Christ will have to, on that day, acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. After a long absence in which God had been in seclusion, Isaiah wanted God to reappear with power to intervene in the events of human history. At the same time, Isaiah humbly acknowledges that our God is an awesome God who does awesome things that no one expects and no one can control. God, you see, is bigger than we are. We cannot simply demand that God perform for us on cue like some trained animal whenever we please, but instead we are the ones who must wait on him and his good pleasure. Isaiah reminds his readers that believers can't always see God or hear God or know what God is up to, but we have been called to live by faith in the promise that God will act on behalf of those who wait for him. Today begins Advent. Advent is that season of the church year that is all about waiting for Christ to appear. Recently, I waited in a doctor's office, and you know how long it can be if you wait in a doctor's office. You start out waiting in that larger reception area, and then you think your wait is over and they take you back to that little examination room, and sometimes you can wait forever. My nurse took me back and left me in that room to wait for my doctor, thinking I had all kinds of time before my doctor showed up. I went to use the restroom. When I got back, My doctor was sitting there in the examination room waiting patiently on me. How often has that happened? Old Testament believers who were waiting on God were even more surprised when God appeared as that gentle baby born in Bethlehem. In all the previous biblical events, God had always come down to earth in really dramatic and terrible ways that made even grown men tremble. But here God does the unexpected as he appears in human flesh and form. He does not come in a thunderous voice of condemnation, but he comes in the gentle sounds of a soft, sweet baby who would grow up to love this world so much that he would die for it. How often has that happened? While all of Israel was waiting on God to appear in something glorious like fire, God appeared in something ordinary like flesh. For in the very next chapter of Isaiah, God says, I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. To a nation that did not call upon my name, I said, here I am. Here I am. While Isaiah and all of Israel were looking for God to come down in some big way, God came to earth in a little way, as that little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. And from that manger, you could hear God saying, here I am. I am here. Instead of coming in a way that would frighten or terrify or condemn us, God comes unexpectedly in a gospel way to save us. This is a whole new wardrobe for God. God is no longer the unapproachable deity, but an infant that could be cuddled. God is no longer an invisible spirit, but now a man full of grace and truth. God was now wearing flesh and blood, designer clothing, for God's purpose of suffering and dying on the cross in our place. While Isaiah was looking for God to come in great power and glory from heaven, God appears humbly on this earth. And my friends, though the cross was hideous, though some would tell him not to wear it, God chose to wear it anyway. Earlier, Isaiah had been waiting on God to destroy the unrighteous. And suddenly, Isaiah remembers that he is among the unrighteous and those who are unworthy, and we are too. We're like that man with a hangover who's roused from sleep by the doorbell, you know, and shouts, I'm coming, I'm coming. And he's got bedhead, and he doesn't have time to brush his teeth. And he answers the door wearing only his boxers and a t-shirt with an inappropriate slogan across the front of it, combined with some pizza stains from last night. And he shouts obscenities at the door as he opens it, thinking it's the paper boy, only to discover that it's his girlfriend and her parents have flown in for the first time to meet him. And he's not happy, and she's not happy, and they certainly aren't happy. In the same way, only the righteous can be joyful when we meet God. We do not want to find ourselves answering that door, standing before God in our underwear, so to speak. And this is what will happen unless we set our alarm and get ready well in advance. Advent gives us that time as Christians to prepare for God's coming. And by reminding us what not to wear when we meet the living God. When you look into your closet, don't wear your own works and your own righteousness and your own goodness, but wear the clothing that Christ purchased for you. Wear his blood and righteousness. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.